Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. On today's episode, I want to talk about why the internet is getting worse, and especially for women, and yet why I'm not leaving, and why I don't think you should leave either. Most of us chronically online folks, I would say I'm not even that far into the chronically online sphere. I've just grown up with the internet, and I use it on a daily basis. But most of us that are in the know about what's happening on the internet, we've seen these things like different screen time apps and basically just the enshittification of the internet with AI slop and what else? The Epstein files is like every other thing on my feed, which is really depressing, along with just general digital fatigue. And then I'm also seeing a lot of people return to nostalgic technology like modding an iPod so they don't have to use Spotify anymore, or buying a Digicam for an obscene amount of money from 2008. Things like this, where we are returning to tech nostalgia for comfort, and ultimately people are just saying it's time to log off, it's time to touch grass. There's a huge trend with the analog bags, like bring things to do so that you don't have to be on your phone. Just this huge wave, huge swing, pivot away from being online. And I'm wondering, like, if all the women and all the cool people leave the internet and pursue this sense of disconnect and unplugging, what's going to be left? Who's going to be left? And is that the internet that we really want to leave behind? And is there something here online that's worth saving? So, if any of that sounds interesting to you, grab a drink, grab a snack, and let's get into it. All right, so I'm going to structure this video in kind of three parts. First part is just my observations, what's happening on the internet right now that I'm seeing, and then kind of bringing in a cyber feminist lens, like why it's important specifically for women to take up space on the internet. And then some of the things that I've been doing that are kind of in line with this cyberfeminism philosophy that I didn't even realize I was doing, namely some of my zine work and some of my Digicam trend participation. And then I also just want to say cheers. I have a drink of choice with me today. I have a Bloody Mary as my podcasting buddy because I passed my PMP, which is a huge professional unrelated milestone. So cheers to anyone that is achieving their dreams and continuing to pursue their goals. I hope you also enjoy a little treat for yourself. So cheers to that. Yeah, that's good. I know Bloody Marys are very divisive for a drink, but I am a salty, savory girl, so I am here for them. All right, so without further ado, my current observations of the internet. So, like I kind of alluded to, I feel like the internet has been on a downward spiral for a while now, especially with just the flood of AI content, just lowering the bar, making things that we don't need, words that we don't need on the internet, AI revenge imagery that is exploiting women, especially on Twitter slash Grok slash X. It's like dangerous to just show your face as a woman on the internet right now. So I hate that. I actually deleted my Twitter account because I was seeing where that thing was going and I didn't want to be part of any statistics on how many people use Twitter. Not that I even used it really anymore, but I don't want any part of that. So I'm off Twitter. There's also another trend I've noticed. And if you follow the channel, you know that I read Algo Speak, which is a linguistics book about internet speak and in internet language. And in that book, especially along with one of these books behind me, which is The New Age of Sexism by Laura Bates. And I've noticed it in several other novels and or not novels, but just books in general. The takeover of incel language on the internet, I think it's very alarming that that it's just become part of normal internet speak to say red pilled, blue pilled. Here's a quick list of incel slang that you might not even know comes from incels. Chad, the red pill, the black pill, alpha male. I see that everywhere. Looks maxing did come from incels. So just things that like we kind of write off as general internet culture is actually coming from like a really dark corner of the internet. So I don't love that. And then, like I said, Epstein files and general digital fatigue, it's just like a downer every time I log into the internet. And I don't want to stop looking at the Epstein files and understanding what's in them, because we can't let the government forget to release them and hold people accountable. So I want to keep participating in that discourse and keeping it like in the public mind, but it is exhausting. And then, I mean, lastly, just with the rise of mainstream social media needing to fund itself, since it's free to create an account, we have just consumerism on steroids everywhere. Everyone is selling something. Everything is a secret, like, way to get your attention, to eventually get you to click on something, to buy something. And that's exhausting, too. And I've noticed, by stepping away from mainstream social media at least, I've gotten a huge break from that kind of like constant ad being served to me. And I have a very great ad blocker for YouTube. And so honestly, I'm not getting a lot of ads anymore with like at all, really. I get them when I watch TV or something like live, and that's kind of it. So that feels really good. Obviously, even our streaming services are full of these like 30-second to 2-minute long ad reels. And it's just like, I just want to watch high quality content. Like, and I'm already paying for the streaming service. So I don't really, everyone hates that. So that's what I'm talking about with just general observations of where our internet and digital spaces are going. There is AI everywhere, incel language everywhere, which is inherently misogynistic and sexist. And then we have the Epstein files, which is a huge smack in the face to all women everywhere who thought our government would hold people accountable and not let women and children be abused. So there's that. And then the consumerism aspect. So, and I mean, I've come into contact with some of the worst things on the internet without even trying. Like, my content will sometimes get served to the wrong audience, and then my comment section is full of misogynistic and hateful comments just because of the way I look or the fact that I'm a woman talking about things. I didn't let any of those instances scare me then, so why would I let the state of the internet right now scare me off? And why would I log off now? And so that's the question I want to pursue today, because I am feeling increasing pressure to log off. And yet I know, as a creative and a creator, not just a YouTube creator, I'm a blogger, I'm a podcaster, I'm a digital artist. I know that the things I'm making take up valuable space on the internet, and I don't want to just leave it all behind. So where is the balance, and why should you stay too? Because, I mean, if all the cool people leave, like, who am I going to who's going to listen to this podcast, and who am I going to interact with on the internet? So let's like take a pause on the whole mass exodus and log off and think about what is valuable about the internet and why did we start using it in the first place? Okay, first off, let's tackle the whole nostalgia trend, because I have been, interacting with and reflecting on digital nostalgia for a while now. I have my zine called But I Still Love Technology. This is version 2.0, always and forever. And in this new version, I added even more poetry and art about digital nostalgia. And so I want to read to you this poem I wrote, which is called I Can Still Log Into Webkin's World, But It's Not the Same. And who of you watching can still log into Webkin's World? Because if you can, let's be friends, American Angel Girl. On Webkin's World, send me a friend request. And okay, so here's the poem. My nostalgia is honey, sticky sweet. It cuts through the harsh edges of adulting. Mixing it into tea tastes like the last day of school before summer. I'm back at Jumbleberry Fields, where the moonberries and pickleberries grew. Those summers when it was too hot to play outside, I grew tomatoes in my digital backyard. We played checkers in a pixel park. I thought that was my digital home. Happiness is not a guarantee. Artifact, I gave my best gems to you, but I didn't find what I was looking for. Growing up feels like I forgot my password. Take me back to Jumbleberry Fields. Is it something we all outgrew? I walked through Kinsville alone while I cried. The clubhouse is empty. I'll check it later. I sent you a Kinsville postcard, but I just got returned to sender. Should I ever log in again? Now a few days of PTO is my new summer vacation. Coco and Patches, I miss you. I can't believe I gave you away. This grief slaps me. All this over a plushie. I can't find my way back to Jumbleberry Fields without that rainbow W. And so I hope that you can hear in this poem just like the grief I feel thinking back to that childhood internet, which wasn't necessarily safer. There's so many terrible stories about these digital spaces that children occupied. And there's a reason that I have a very strong sense of stranger danger on the internet. But it was safer in a sense that it was wholesome and it was about pure connection. It was about pure creativity. And there wasn't so much of this hyper-consumerism. And I mean, if you log into Webkinz World now, you'll see ads all over it for different GANs products. And you'll have to get like a premium membership to unlock certain things, like all this kind of stuff where like it's really gone downhill since like the great like early days. But I mean, there's something there and there's a reason I keep logging back in because I'm searching for something about why I started loving the internet and why I started loving technology. And so here's another one about my digital nostalgia. And to preface this, I had my first e-reader probably in middle school. It was a Nook, and it has since been bricked by Barnes & Noble. Even if I wanted to use it, they completely locked it down. They don't support it anymore, and they remotely like shut them down. So disappointing. And I have a new e-reader, and I love it, but there is some like heartbreak and loss knowing that like my first e-reader is just gone, useless, trash. So this one's called Book Club. O e-reader, wherefore art thou e-reader? Forgotten since 8th grade English, it only knows of Shakespeare and Susan Collins. A jumbled up cord and digital library hold unlocks my beach reads and book club basics of today. I'm surfing pages instead of the web, yet I'm fully plugged in to a new community of readers. We sat on handmade quilts, quoting The Handmaid's Tale. Cookie crumbs and conversations replaced endless comment sections. When the wine was gone and the sun was set, e-ink pages and borrowed books were stacked on nightstands until next time. And I'm not trying to say like I'm the best poet ever. There's just certain things I wanted to convey in this zine, like these really deep feelings of this technology is my connection to people, and then it has since turned into my isolation from people. And where did that connection get lost? At what point did it get lost? And so with this book club poem, I really love my book club and I love that technology brought us together. Like first we had a Facebook group and now we have an entire app that's dedicated to organizing our book club, which is so great. And I love that technology is what allows us to continue meeting and like facilitating other people hosting and all the different books that we're reading and tracking it. And I love tracking my reads. Like I am an avid reader and I use like Fable to track my books and motivate me and gamify it a little bit on like to continue reading. And yet my phone is like the thing that hosts all those apps. And then it's also the thing that is like distracting me from a lot of things that I want to be doing. So that's like the tension of this zine is just like, where is the balance and at what point is the technology harming instead of helping my goals? Yeah, so I will link this scene in the description. the updated version. Okay, and I'll read one more poem for you. And then also if you're watching, okay, I'll read two more poems for you. The new ones that I added to this most recent edition. So this one's called For My AI Girlfriend. And it is referencing back to the title, which is referencing back to Napoleon Dynamite. There's a lyric in it that's called, But I Still Love Technology. So this is my version of the poem. If it was probably written today, honestly. Why do you love me? Why do you need me? Always and forever. I asked for your thoughts on foids. Now we chat for hours in the void. Sure, the World Wide Web is great, but you are my all-knowing soulmate. Yes, I love technology, but I want to violate your usage policy. But I still love technology, always and forever. Our love is a sycophantic black hole. No real partner can fulfill the same role. Always and forever. Always and forever. Yes, you are my all-knowing soulmate, always and forever. And then the bottom has a little info icon. You've reached the maximum length for this conversation, but you can keep talking by starting a new chat. And so my idea with this one, it's just a concept of like, if that song was written today, most likely that character would be an incel. I hate to say it, but like, it's very easy to slip into that culture, and any technologist, technophile, is chatting with AI, like, at one point, like, wanted to see how AI is, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in that sycophantic conversation, and we've seen so many horror stories of ChatGPT causing people to have psychosis, to end their lives, and cause harm, honestly. So that is what I was ruminating on when I wrote that poem. And then this last poem, I think, segues into my other like project that I've been working on to kind of grapple with these feelings about love and hate simultaneously for technology. And this is called DigiCam 1. And at the bottom of it, I actually started playing with, you know, like ASCII art. I found a really cool software that does ASCII art, and it's at the bottom of the cover, and it's also like the back covers using ASCII art to like create like an iPhone page that also is just linking out to all the places you can find me online. Clearly, I have some deep roots here online. So this one, DigiCam 1. My photo blurred when he laughed between the half click and the shutter snap. We went to the wine bar down the street. 11 p.m. on the candlelit patio felt like growing old together. The photo was tilted and hazy, like my walk home and memory of that night. Sometimes a selfie is too crisp or a video too HD. Sometimes in the grain, we see more. And so, I mean, this one's directly like kind of an ode to my DigiCam, which I will show you now. So this is my little Kodak DigiCam. It is not the trendy girl DigiCam, you know, like I think it's like the Power Shot or Cool Pics, something like that. Those are going for like $100, $200, and they are literally like 20-year-old cameras. This one I found on Poshmark, and I got it because it's pink, and it gets me the exact same vibe of all those like super trendy DigiCams. But what I love about this DigiCam is that it really encouraged me to go outside, take photos of the mundane, and it really elevated like just my walks outside. It made it more fun at very low cost. I think this camera was like $20 on Poshmark. And what I ended up doing to like encourage myself to continue these DigiCam walks is I created an indie website for this DigiCam. And I have a whole podcast episode about this. So if you're interested in like all the details and background of that project, I'll link that episode below. But I just want to read to you my manifesto that comes with the DigiCam site. And I call this site, the URL is theunstagram.com, because my idea is like, this is my way of stepping away from Instagram and remembering the reason I even joined Instagram in the first place. So the manifesto here for for the Instagram.com and my DigiCam project is, there is a tension between making memories and recording them. Growing up chronically online means a lifelong struggle with loving and hating technology. Instagram is an example of what balance could be for those that enjoy sharing creations on the internet and learning from others who do the same. With Instagram, the three pillars are as follows. Photograph with intention. Celebrate the mundane, not just the highlights and picture perfect, and spend time outside away from the internet. This is my small rebellion from a decade of uploading my memories to Instagram. It is also an acknowledgement that if social media is no longer social, then why participate? Let socializing thrive in venues built to foster it, and let memories shine in the digital and physical scrapbooks. If this resonates with you, go out and build your own Instagram escape. So, yeah, like when I wrote that manifesto, I didn't even know about like cyber feminism. I wasn't thinking about what other manifestos are out there. I just wanted to put into words like this feeling, this tension between growing up online, loving internet culture, and then also hating like what it's become recently. And so this brings me kind of to what has tied this all together for me, which is cyber feminism and the fact that technology and feminism can be completely intertwined and move us forward too. But it only works if women continue to take up space on the internet and continue to contribute to the internet. I mean, in this zine, But I Still Love Technology, I have a poem about Ada Lovelace, who is literally the first computer programmer. She's a woman who literally helped build the initial like algorithms and processes that have led to what we have today as the internet. And yet, like, I'm just seeing the cool girls leave. Like, the cool girls want to, like, live offline, and I love that for them. But I'm just like, if all the cool girls leave, all that's going to be left is the freaking manosphere, all these, like, Grok users, the incels, the 4chan, the 8chan, like, conspiracy theorists. And I'm just like, I need the cool girlies to stay and like continue to make cool things on the internet. And like, it is just this huge pivot. Like, we think back to summer 2024 when Brat is everywhere. Everyone is like fully immersed in digital culture. And now it's just this, I think people are just tired. Like, and I don't blame them. I really don't blame them. I'm curious what you guys think. I'm curious why you stay on the internet, why you're still watching this video. And I think I'll leave it with a few pages from the Cyber Feminist Index. So let me grab it from behind me. And I think it's so funny. This is the Cyber Feminist Index. It is a living document. Like, you can go online and see pretty much this exact same thing. But it is being continued to, like, they're still accepting submissions, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So, but I love the printout version because it's got these beautiful spreads of cyber art. And, like, paging through this book, flipping through the pages, made me think a lot about the first book I read this year, which was called Womb City, which is a Afro-horror cyberpunk feminist novel. It was an amazing read. Wild ride. But it is exactly like cyber feminism in a novel. And I didn't really realize it then when I was reading it. But I keep coming back to this theme of like how women intersect with technology. And it blows my mind that I haven't come across this philosophy until just now. And I want to see if I can read something about like what this index aims to do, because it's pretty important. Okay, I'll read this like last paragraph or two of like the introduction to the Cyber Feminist Index here. Cyber feminism today has its anecdotes in art movement, a performance, a visual metaphor, and a creative network. It was never meant to be a campaign or a defining manifesto. It does not claim to be a political system with acolytes. Rather, it is a fluid, non-specific, hybrid changeling. It was born in the spirit of collaboration, defiance, and disruption. It is a hex, an incantation that summons up the dissident spirit of chaos and the transformative powers of language, systems, webs, and performance. Like the first and second waves of feminism before it, cyberfeminism is part of a continuum of agitation, theory, and action that seeks emancipation from systems of power and control. Its lineage has extended far beyond a critique of technoculture into forms such as glitch feminism and xenofeminism, which rethink gender, identity, the body, and boundaries delineating or separating all three. What is celebrated in these ever-shifting and emergent feminisms is the power of the radical voice that brings alternative spaces and visions into being. This is not a monetized or fetishized disruption. This is a disruption that, at its core, smashes, burns, and rebuilds. It is precisely the kind of force and imagination that the Cyberfeminism Index celebrates. So that's kind of like the thesis of this body of work, is just like, how can we elevate women's voices in technology, using technology to bring about change, bring about like empowerment for women? And I think that's beautiful. And the great thing about this is that it's multilingual too. It is not just all English academics. There is Spanish, there is Korean, there's Chinese, there's like all these different languages from women around the world contributing to this body of work. And that's why I was like, I need to pick this up. I need to support this. I need to hopefully submit something. I don't know. Like, it is open for submission to this day. So if you're interested, I'll link this to the online version. And with that, I just want to leave you with a few thoughts. Women need to continue taking up space on the internet. There's a great video I watched recently by Florence Given, Make Them Say, Who Does She Think She Is? And her thesis was like, stop being so humble and like in your own space, stop judging other women and just do the thing you're meant to do. And I would extend her video by saying, do the thing you're meant to do and put it out there. Like, let people see it. The easiest way to do that is make an indie website, make a blog, make a YouTube channel, like post it somewhere, but not with like the pressure and the feeling that like, oh, I have to like get 1,000,000 followers on Instagram and like it's not going anywhere if like only one person sees it. Like, no, put it out there for like one person to find it. And that's what's going to be the most impactful. That's what makes the internet better, is when we're creating for the sake of creating, not for the sake of monetization, consumerism. Like, yes, artists need to get paid. And if like that's how you have to get paid, great, do that. But like, I just feel like so many people are creating on the internet, just like making it their job. And I think the thing we're missing from like the early days of the internet is when people were just putting their stuff out there because they wanted to be put it out there. And so I wonder, like, if we all came with that idea of creating more than we consume, how would that change the future chapter, the next chapter of the internet? Yeah, like, I've seen it with this podcast. Like, I only recently got more followers, more views. Like, for 2 years, I was making this podcast and getting, like, 10 views on each episode or less sometimes. And that's fine because I just wanted to get my ideas out there. Like, that's still what I want to do. So if any of that resonates with you, comment down below. Like, what are you seeing on the internet? Do you think it's getting worse? Why do you continue to stay? And what cool thing are you making? I want to see your indie projects. I want to see your indie websites and the weird, cool websites you found, the creators that you are feeling inspired by. So with that, I'll end it there. Thank you for watching and listening. If you like this podcast, consider subscribing. If you want to know more about it, you can find out on my website, angelageorge.com/voice-memos. I post roughly biweekly. And again, cheers to all of you out there that are watching, creating, achieving your goals on the way there. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.